Hi, Michael Feldman here, and this is What Do You Know? Welcome to the second installment of Funny You Don't Look 30 Great Times from What Do You Know? This one, the first of many trips to Springfield, Missouri, on June 17, 1989, to Southwest Missouri State, now Missouri State, home of Boomer the Bear and our great friend and mentor, Arlen Diamond, Chief of Operations at KSMU Radio. Arlen was so worried about the success of this show, my fault, we set ticket prices at $5, since we weren't even charging for it at home, that after 2 hours of nervously fiddling with his wedding band, he lost it under the risers. He found it afterwards, though, and the marriage and the show went great. Our special guest, the legendary singer-songwriter Johnny Mullins, also known as the Singing Janitor, his day job at a local school, despite having written hits for Porter Wagoner, Emmy Lou Harris, Blue Kentucky Girl is a Johnny Mullins song, for example, and many others as well. Parenthetically, he wrote the song Success, which Sinead O'Connor sang on Saturday Night Live before ripping up a picture of the Pope. No royalties on that one, Johnny Mullins said. From June 17th, 1989, What Do You Know? From Springfield, Missouri.
And I can anticipate exactly when, at any point in the course of a given show, the cue will come to open the show, because that's how well we know each other. And I'm not just saying that about Steve, because I know the whole crew this well. I mean, we have developed, on this trip alone, the camaraderie. Well, just last night at the bar, we developed such camaraderie that they almost threw us out of the bar. And so I know that I can trust Steve over here to give me the cue. And then when I receive that cue, then that's exactly when we start the show, because otherwise the affiliates wonder, what the heck, doesn't he know he's on the air or something like that? And you wouldn't believe how excited they get. Like, we get phone calls from these people, you know, the guys at the uplink, and then we say, did you know that you were on the air? And actually, we came in late on this, and then we didn't give the official intro to the show. And isn't it true, Jim?
It is, yeah.
Sam does all the time, all down the line. So I don't want to thank you for being here, and of course, so just sit in your seats there, and we'll just wait for the cue. There it is. Well, you know, it's kind of a strange thing. I'm back in Wisconsin and thinking about the show, mentally preparing for it. I started to talk like I was from the hills. In fact, I was driving my wife a little nuts. In fact, I told my wife to cook me up a mess of greens and side meat. Some powerful good pot liquor is what I was looking for there. And she just about busted me upside the head, as a matter of fact. And, well, what do you know?
From Carrington Auditorium on the campus of Southwest Missouri State University, Springfield, Missouri, it's What Do You Know with Michael Feldman from National Public Radio. That's John Tulin at the piano and Jeff Eccles on bass, along with Marty Morrison on drums, and I'm Jim Packard. In this hour of What Do You Know, America's favorite janitor, the What Do You Know quiz, and the hotline. What Do You Know is made possible by a major underwriting grant from the Pillsbury Company, featuring Pillsbury's best, including Pillsbury soft bread sticks, already pizza crust, and refrigerated biscuits, available in your grocer's dairy case. Now, the man fresh from 12 hours in a van, Michael Feldman.
Thank you very much. Well, actually, it would have been a few less hours, but we had to stop for those little round pies, you know. Walnut bowls and fireworks and Tiny's ribs. We got some of those. And Jesse James artifacts at, of course, the underground gift shops, which are kind of hard because you got to dig to get to them. They're exotic animals. We made that stop, of course. And the hot and cold water towers, had to get a shot of that coming in. And tours every 30 minutes, you know, so that took some time. And then we had to drive through those caverns there in those little jeeps they give you with the. Then, of course, there's the progress as planned signs. That's kind of slowed us down. Progress as planned. That's a euphemism for we're tearing up the road, right? This is progress as planned. Yeah, well, anyhow. And, of course, I adopted a highway on the way down, too. That was. Yeah, I guess all the highways down here are orphans. I don't know. I have no idea what that's all about. Which is, I'm going to raise it like it was my own. My wife and I can't have a highway, so it's. We can't agree on the route, actually, so that's. But beautiful country down here, some of the best damn lakes I've ever seen. they're dams, and they built all these lakes out here, and it's really kind of, it's an amazing history in this area too. I've been reading up on it because I wanted to know what I was getting into here, and it's kind of amazing. They had one time they had a Spanish ruled it, the French ruled it. They had Spanish law and French citizens governed by Indiana, as I understand it. It was actually. For some reason, Indiana got in there, ran the state, and then all these Scotch, Irish, and Germans moved in. In fact, that's why Napoleon sold the whole thing, because he didn't know which holidays to celebrate. It was very confusing. It was sold as part of the Louisiana Purchase, I guess. They sold it for $15 million. And that's, of course, before they discovered the fantastic caverns, which would have would have upped the price considerably then. But in those days, propane-powered Jeeps were just a dream, you know. Jesse James liked this area so much that he came back to it even after he was dead. It was kind of an amazing thing. He came back here after he was dead until he was 102, I understand. And he's preserved and waxed down here, kind of like Lenin in Moscow, but only upright is, I guess, the difference. And I guess I got part of Jesse James is in Stanton, part in South Dakota, part in Northfield, Minnesota, and the rest of the parts are still unaccounted for, but they're going to show up eventually in wax museums somewhere. And in the news... In the world news, President Bush initiated plans to clean the air. He's going to install a scrubber on Lee Atwater's stack. There's some talk now of appointing Dan Quayle the airhead of this project. Clean air. The head of the air thing. Of course, part of this clean air thing is the using corn as fuel, and I guess they've been doing that in the hills here for years now, and... So Ozarks, it could be like OPEC down here as far as the corn fuel. There's enough fuel here to make us energy independent, I think, for the next 2,000 years. And Wisconsin, we're pretty excited about it, too, because we got the cow methane thing there, and we're working on that as a fuel. A few technical problems with it. You've got to figure out how to strap the Holstein to the luggage carrier. That's it. You know, if we're working that out. That's and which way to face it, you know, I mean, that's going to... We'll work that out, though. In other news, Ronald Reagan was knighted by the Queen, finally giving him something in common with Laurence Olivier. All right, King's Row was a good movie. That's one. Of course, in this country, we have no equivalent to being knighted, except we can be Bobby knighted, which means having a chair thrown at you. And they still hope to put Mr. Reagan's head on Rushmore. There's just a problem of reducing it to the proper size, so we're... It's the pompadour, you know, I mean, a two-story pompadour is really what's holding up progress. There's not enough rock, really, in the monument to do that. And let's see, Jerry Falwell announced he's folding up the tent on the moral majority. They're starting a new group with Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker called Three Jacks and a Jill, so watch for that. And Imelda Marcos has an album coming out called Lady Sings the Shoes. Some of the following selections, these boots are made for walking, high-heeled sneakers, blue suede shoes, and red pumps in the sunset. That's all the news that isn't. Thank you so much for your indulgence. Well, it's great to be down here in Missouri, and it'll be a really wonderful audience. People have been so kind to us down here, feeding us all this cashew chicken, which is a native dish down there. I didn't realize that. I don't know. I guess the French brought that with them, apparently. And the gentleman everyone knows here, Johnny Mullins, is joining me now here at the theater. And Johnny is a country songwriter, singer, well-known, has written many country hits. Blue Kentucky Girl, among them Success. Move Up a Little Closer, songs that you're all familiar with. Johnny, nice to have you here with us.
Good to be here, Mike.
Pleasure to have you. And also, the book of your life is out now, America's Favorite Janitor.
I want them to call it The Precinct's Favorite Janitor, but the author and publisher wanted it titled.
And this is by Hino Head?
Hino Head, Jr.
Jr. Emmy Lou Harris wrote the foreword on that.
Yes.
Now, how long have you been writing songs, Johnny?
Oh, ever since I was just a small child.
So when you were a kid, you were writing songs. Did they just come to you as you were playing, or as a... What was the inspiration when you first started writing them?
Girls.
Now your wife is right down here, so I won't ask you if that's still the inspiration.
I wrote in fact, songs that I got recorded in later years, most of them I wrote in the hills where I was raised, and I wrote some in hills where other people were raised, and I wrote some in hills Well, there were no people. They were raised there.
So would hills be the theme then in most of your music?
Yeah.
Does it take that?
I've never been really a dyed-in-the-wool country music writer. I've always just written about my people and the hills and what I felt, and got lucky with a few of them, and the country people liked them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're beautiful songs, all of them.
Yeah.
So you write about what you know and what you... Does it take like a major incident for inspiration? I mean, something dramatic have to happen for a song to happen, or does something just come to you?
No, sometimes it can just be just something small. I have a bluegrass song that's been recorded by bluegrass groups called Lonely Violet. And I saw a field that the water had run over and matted down the grass. And I thought, well, I've written about everything else. I'm going to need to get that matted down grass in there some way. I sent it to Emmy Lou, and she got Delia Bell and Bill Grant on the Ground of Rex to record it. It has a line in there where it says, where the river's overflowing and the grass is matted down and cool water's running over fertile ground.
That's a nice image. So it's like a visual image, and it becomes
nothing big, just matted down grass.
Yeah. Now, so that's the secret, is matted down grass and hills, basically, in the music.
We might add, though, that the grass, most of the time down in the hills where I was raised, matted down grass had been matted down by the high waters, Mike.
So there's a story behind the story.
Yeah. So.
You grew up in Layton Holler, I guess it would be.
That's where I was raised.
Yeah.
Yes.
And where is that? Is that near here?
That's south of Ridgely, Missouri, which is southwest of Monette. It's about...
Well, that pins it down pretty much, doesn't it?
It isn't a town. It's just a holler thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Monette like the painter?
Like the what?
How do you... Monette, M-O-N-E-T?
It's south of Monette. It's one of those places where... you can't leave town without crossing the city limits in any direction. I'll tell you what. I kind of dreaded this till I saw you on the Channel 10 news last night. I'd never seen you. I'd heard you, and I really like your show. But I'd never seen you in person. And after I saw that, I thought, I'm going to like that guy. But you're a fast thinker, Mike, and I'm a. And I'm a slow thinker.
Yeah. But yours pays off more than mine.
Yeah, well, I don't catch on as fast. The other day I was walking along, someone hollered, "Hey, look, there's a dead bird," and I looked up.
Now, tell me about songwriting as a career. Now, you worked as a janitor for, 30 years, 20?
Almost 30.
Almost 30 years. You didn't go Hollywood on this after you had your first hit. You could have gone to Nashville. You could have gone and hit the road and played gigs every night.
Oh, yes. I could have gone and done that. Probably wound up with about my 10th wife and been on drugs and alcohol. But I wanted to stay with what I had.
Sounds good to me. I don't know. What about that didn't you like, I guess? Sounds like the trappings of success. Now you wrote a song called Success, as a matter of fact. It kind of deals with some of that.
I wrote a song, Loretta Lynn's first number one hit was a song called Success. I had originally called it Success Has Made a Failure of Our Home. I thought that was real deep and intellectual. The producer didn't, so he shortened it down to one word, Success.
That's a beautiful song. I know Graham Parsons did that too at one time, I believe.
And my first hit was Company's Coming. We got Company coming up the road, recorded by Porter Wagoner. Mm-hmm. That song's done in every country in the world except by the Headhunters.
And they're after you anyhow, right?
Hey, that wouldn't be a bad song for the Headhunters. We got Company coming up the road, you know.
Success has made me a headhunter out of you or something.
Yeah.
Well, at one point I was reading some of the things you've written about writing songs, and you said the thing is not to be obsessed about songwriting.
No, have another. You've heard that phrase, don't give up your day job.
I hear it a lot, yeah.
I did. I stayed with mine. It isn't one big overnight success, songwriting, isn't you? You'll have a big hit and make a few thousand dollars and then go 10 years without getting another hit. And that money won't last forever. I've always been kind of a family man and looked out after my family. And so I kind of saved my money, part of it. What my wife didn't get and the kids talked me out of. But
are you still driving the 52 Plymouth?
No, I still have the same wife and the same house, same neighbors. But I had to get a better car. I have an 82 Impala now. So we'll see, about another 10 years, I'll get another.
Yeah, that should take you into the 2000s, I would
think.
I'm
going to try to find me a good 52 Plymouth.
Kind of missed that car, huh?
Yeah.
That fluid drive on that, didn't it? 52? I think so. Dynamic fluid drive, I think. We had one of those, too, at one point. Do you ever miss the fact that you could be playing Vegas right now and then making the third comeback of the Johnny Mullins World Tour?
I don't know that I was all that good. When I was younger, I could sing and yodel, but back then you had to yodel after every verse. You know, or you'd get tomato thrown at you. And I was about 20. I could yodel as like a Swiss yodeler, but country music back then and like it is today, you know, they play for the Queen of England, Carnegie Hall, and every place. Back then it was bars and early morning radio work, and you had to go out and get your own sponsor. Mm-hmm. I stayed with it on the West Coast for about 10 years, but, you know, I got a little weary of drunks walking up to me, handing me a five, and sang that song again. And that's all I had. Unless you could land a record contract, it was just bars and drunks.
Yeah. Now, see, John likes that. As long as there's a five involved, you know, he's just happy as a clam.
Yeah. You know, it is a little rough, Mike, to try to sing some sweet love ballad right after a couple of big lumberjacks have just fought it out in the back.
See, on the radio, you give the weather at that point. That's what I'm... I used to do a live show from a restaurant. There'd be fights occasionally. That one guy was being dragged out the door and carrying the jukebox with him, and he was hanging onto it, and this other guy was dragging him out the door in a hammer lock. And I was on the air at the time from this restaurant, and I said, it's 46 degrees in Madison. So you can all, that covers you on that end of it, at least.
Yeah.
The thing that interested me about you, or one of the things, I guess, is the fact that you have such a great sense of humor. A lot of your songs are very funny, and you also have a real kind of very sad side. Kind of melancholy sound.
Yeah, I write. I try to write the authentic folk and bluegrass type songs. And I write comedy songs. I like to kid the women at some of my concerts. I've got a song called Women's Liberation, another one called Mama's Garage Sale. And I'm going to do one today about a baseball player who spit his way to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Well, I guess we'd like to hear that one. You want to get up here and do that? I'm going to set Johnny Mullins up here about a baseball player who spit his way to fame. Just take a minute here to set him up on stage. This is live radio at its livest. This is the most elaborate show we've ever done here with live musicians. No offense.
I've never done anything before a college group before, so I hope you college people won't mind if I lean over and clear my throat. Could be worse. I used to lean over and spit, and they broke me right out. I was sitting watching television one night and watching a baseball game, and I thought, you know, I've written about everything under the sun, but I've never written a song about baseball. I watched one player spit 15 times in one inning, and I thought, there's got to be a song in there somewhere. So So after the game, I went into my study and I wrote a song called The Ballad of Spit Homerfield. From the hills of Alabama and the fields of sugar cane, to the bright lights of the city and the baseball hall of fame, he walks out of the bullpen and the girls begin to squeal. And the men folks know there never will be another Spit Homer Field. I was all laid back in my easy chair. My wife's in the kitchen washing her hair. I had the television on looking for a baseball game. They made a station break and some guy showed me how to eat a hamburger on live TV. Then, man, I liked to faint it when I heard the name. I knowed the boy down in Alabama. Saw him pitch his way out of many a jam. He had a good right arm and the kid had lots of speed. I knowed he was a hitter with a lot of savvy and a pretty good spitter when he had the salavi, and I told everybody he's headed for the big league. He was quiet and shy, didn't holler very loud, but he was learning how to please the crowd, and especially his old pappy who had raised his son. Just to hang in there, not be a slacker, but he whooped the boy for chewing tobacco, so from that day on the kid chewed a wad of gum. I turned the TV up a little bit when the man with the mic introduced old Spit, and the crowd went wild just like I know they do. Then I watched the man with the mic in his hand lead a proud old daddy out of the stands and took him to a glassed-in cage for an interview. First bat he ever owned was a butter spoon, and the baseball diamond was a living room, and his mommy was a referee, she hid in the hall. She used to get mad as an old wet hen and hit me on the head with a rolling pin and run me all over the house and down the hall. You could teach your son how to run and hit, but you take him outside when he needs to spit. I've had it up to here. I ain't telling you this no more. I'm through with all this running and hiding, cooking your meals while slipping and sliding. I fell three times. I fell three times today on the kitchen floor. But Mama's changed since way back then. She's proud of her boy and she'd do it again. Mama's here tonight, sitting out there right now. She's the gray-haired lady with the bulge in her cheek, peeking around, kind of shy and meek, and chewing her cud, sort of like a contented cow. From the hills of Alabama and the fields of sugar cane, to the bright lights of the city and the baseball hall of fame, he walks out of the bullpen and the girls begin to squeal. And the men folks know there never will be another Spit Homer Field.
Thank you. Did you notice he looked over at his wife in that line there with the chewing the cud thing? And just, I thought she was going to clobber him at one point on that. But that was great. Johnny Mullins, and nice to have you here. We all enjoyed that. Of course, I did get a little phlegm in the course of that. But you know, it's almost impossible not to go, all the Spit references, really kind of. That's Johnny Mullins, America's Favorite Janitor, is the book about his life. And also, he has a novel he wrote, a Western, called Teacher Wade's Last Gunfight. Johnny Mullins, you might want to check that out as well. And, of course, we want to encourage you here. This is still our usual show here, so you can call in here as soon as we figure out what the number is.
We've got that number,
Mike. Oh, we've got that number, do we, Jim?
You can call area code 417-836-6638, 417-836-6638. You can call collect.
Or you can pay for it. Those are the two choices you have there. If you pay for it, we might get you a little sooner. Possibly
right.
Not.
Chance to talk.
Yeah, so you can call in and interrupt us. We call it our call us interrupt us number, so feel free to to use it. And And of course, we have a quiz coming up later in the show. We are coming to you live from Springfield here, and what a lovely bunch you are. Give yourselves a big round of applause. All right. Now give yourself a smattering of applause. That's all right. Okay. Just so you know the difference, and now you know how I feel. Okay. And we, yes, thank you. And we do, of course, this is camcorder day here, so if you are in Springfield and have a camcorder, you want to rush down here to the auditorium and bring it with you, and you can take pictures of other camcorders. It's kind of a nice event for people with, you know, you pay, what, $1,000, $1,200 for some of those camcorders, and the guy here from TV3, of course, paid a little more than that for his. And you want to use them. You want to take them out of the box once in a while, and so this is your chance to do it. Come on down here and do it. We have, of course, what? I told him not to call me here. I got the spit Homer field problem. What is this? Hi, Susan. How are you this morning?
Oh, well, good. Fine.
Well, nice talking with you. I'm glad to... Something I can do for you? I'm in the middle of kind of a radio show here. I don't know if you...
I just wanted to call and say hi.
Okay. Then hi to you.
Okay.
That's it then, huh?
Well, no, I wanted to play the game.
Oh, we're not playing the game yet.
Oh, you're not playing?
No, when you hear me say it's time to call in and play the game, that's when we're playing the game. I just gave the number out in case someone would call up and just say hi.
Oh, okay. Well,
okay,
well,
all right, so put you back on hold here. Are these other... I can't see Lyle from here. Are they just people calling up to say hi? Yeah, we'll do an all-hi show one day, but we're not there yet, so just stay with us. Of course, we do have our band here. You know John Tulin and Jeff Eccles. Joined by Marty Morrison on drums back here. Marty, are you from Springfield?
No.
Where are you from?
Hannibal, Missouri.
From Hannibal, Missouri. Nice to have him here. And you guys actually rehearsed together for this?
Yeah.
Really? When did you have the time? Huh?
Well, this morning when we got here.
So that's not a long rehearsal then. It would have been maybe, what, 10, 15 minutes?
Well, we had a meeting yesterday.
A meeting?
Yeah.
Well, what did you talk about?
Oh, you know, the weather and stuff
like
that.
Yeah. You were pretty silly last night, John.
I was?
Yeah. I'll tell you about it sometime. What are you going to play here, this first tune?
This is called The Maze.
The Maze.
Welcome back to the special rebroadcast of What Do You Know? I'm Michael Feldman.
We've got a great audience here. We're going to go and look through it. Here's someone reading an Archie comic book. I usually, in my show back in Mass, we confiscate all reading material for this very reason. And is this an Archie, the latest Archie?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm taking it. Thank you very much. Is this Veronica? Who's the dark-haired one? Is that Veronica? Yeah. She's got a new look. Whoa. What is she doing, videos now? What is Veronica? She is... That's not the way I remember. Archie looks much the same. Still kind of dopey looking. She looks like Dagwood Bumstead to me. Like, you know, like a cousin of Dagwood Bumstead to me. Haha, your dad is a great kidder, Ronnie. Oh, I see. There's a picture of Archie on the door with a slash through it. So that's... Well, I'll read that later, I guess. We've got things to do here. Michael Matalis is here. From Springfield, Missouri. Where is Michael? I'm sorry, Michael. I can't get to you. There's no center alley. Let's go around here and see if we can do it. By the way, Peggy, do you like that line about chewing the cud? I was going to ask you on the Johnny song.
Oh, yes.
Doesn't bother you? You never said a word to him?
I get used to him after a long time.
Well, how many years did it take, just out of curiosity?
Oh, several.
She's very discreet. That's Johnny's way. Hi, how are you this morning?
Oh, fine. Welcome to the Ozarks.
Well, thank you very much. You're from Springfield? What do you do here in Springfield?
I work for Zenith.
Work for Zenith. What do you do for Zenith?
Well, I work in the traffic department. I ship out the television sets.
Is that right? And then they ship them back to you, too?
No. They're too good to come back.
Oh, of course. If they're Zenith, they're television sets. You know their motto.
That's right.
And do you have a question here, Michael? What can I answer for you?
Well, I was wondering, you know, here we got the story now that Disney Channel might be picking up a TV show with you. I thought you might follow in Garrison Keillor's footsteps and suddenly announce that you're going to move to... Denmark or something like that, but he never ended up in Denmark. I was wondering if you're planning ending up in Kenosha, Sheboygan, or where.
No, actually, Actually, I was thinking of running off with my foreign exchange student. He was really a very nice guy, but I don't think it's going to work, tell you the truth. But.
Okay, good.
Yeah, okay. Well, Michael, nice to meet you. Nice to have you here. We've got Zach Kostelnik here, who's in second grade from Rogersville, Missouri. He's having trouble tying his shoes. Oh, that's little Zach over here. Oh, good. Boy, I really got to work in this auditorium. This is a lot of running here for me. Zach, your shoes are off.
Yeah.
Yeah? Now, your problem here is that your nylon shoelaces come untied. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going quiet on me, aren't you? You were talking up a storm before the show.
I know.
Are these the offending shoes right here? These are not your shoes?
No. Well, but there's my new shoes.
They're your new shoes? These are not the shoes that keep coming on time?
No.
May I ask why they're off your feet and this row is evacuating here?
My feet started hurting.
Because they're new shoes and not broken in yet, probably, huh?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, can you at least sit on your feet like that so people don't, you know, so the people are a little uncomfortable here? Okay, Zach, nice to have you here. You're from Rogersville, huh?
Yeah.
Is that far from here?
Not much.
Not much. You? All right, Zach. I'm sorry, I'm going to confiscate your new shoes, though, because... Oh, all right, yeah, boy. Boy, they turn on you just in a minute there. Is this your mom here, Zach?
Yes.
How are you?
Fine.
Is this all family in this row, or...?
No. Just
I
us
know.
Two.
Say hello to these people down here. In fact, let's all do that. Let's make this into like a Lutheran circle meeting here. Just take a moment here and say hello to the person next to you, the person in front of you, the person behind you, the person with the camcorder who's filming all this. Look at this person here with the camcorder since he's taking the... Are you going to... Is this going to be like the Rob Lowe film or what?
It's your show.
A good answer if I ever heard one. All right. We've got Joseph Harpine here, who is a city planner. What city are you planning, Joe? Where are you? Are they planning a city here someday? Is that true? Oh, I see. I want to talk to you. Are you responsible for the square here? No, I don't mean to say anything, but there's it seems a little quiet on the square.
That's true. They closed it up for a while.
Yeah.
Now we're opening it back up.
Well, I think it's a nice idea for a pedestrian... kind of mall there.
My idea.
I think you want to do in a business district is to drive out the businesses. I think that's number one, and then
that's true.
And then maybe who knows, something else will move in there.
That's true.
Yeah. So, what do you plan exactly?
Neighborhood preservation, historic preservation, and complaints.
And what sort of complaints do you get?
Why can't I do that with my land? It's my land.
It's my land. This land is your land. This land is my land. Where's Jim? Can you sing that song for me? He does folk songs, too, here. And your comment here, Joe?
I got turned on to your show when I started stripping my house.
Just wanted to hear you say that. Nice to have you here. Okay. You stripped your entire house? Is this the outside or the inside?
No.
You stripped the outside, like, with that stuff, that pink stuff?
No. Heat.
Oh, with heat. Okay. All right. We've got, speaking of Rolla, we've got Joey Persley here. Where's Joey? Right on the end there. Well, he's a cute little guy. See if we can get around to him here. I just gotta... Huh? Would Garrison do this for you? Did you ever see him move that fast, huh? I moved to my right, my left, and pretty good little shortstop, too. Hi, Joey. How are you?
Fine.
What does your shirt say there?
Joe Minor Sports Camp.
You went to the Joe Minor Sports Camp?
Yeah.
What do they teach you there?
Well, you can do all kinds of stuff. I did archery and soccer and... Something else I can't remember.
Can you grab the hatchet off the bus and really have some fun?
No.
Unless you do that. How long have you been at the Joe Minor camp there?
Well, I just went for a week because that's all there was.
Yeah. How's your foot control?
Fine, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what that means either, but at least your shoes are on. I'll say that. Every kid here taking his shoes off here. And you had a question, Joey?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I just wondered why they put... On cups from fast food restaurants, why they put litter in its place? Because it's not litter until you put it on the ground. So, and then they show it going in a little trash can. So, I don't know. Something kind of annoys me.
So it annoys you because it's not litter until you litter.
Yeah.
And then it's litter. It should be something else before you litter.
Yeah, it's trash before you litter.
Oh, it's trash before you litter?
Well, it's trash after you litter, too, but it...
No, go ahead. I think you got something here.
Okay, well...
When is it rubbish and garbage, then?
Well, when it's I don't know, but it's rubbish and garbage after it's been used. But what I'm trying to say is, it's not litter until you litter with it, and it shows putting it in the trash can, so... They mean put it in the trash can, but that's not what they say, so I don't know what I'm saying, but...
It's a point well taken, Joy. I think you buy it and put it in the trash can, that's all. Immediately.
Yeah. Well,
that solves your problem.
You use it.
That's why they call it junk food, see? You just... Joy, nice to have you here.
Okay, thanks.
Is your sister here, too?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but it's not my fault, you know? Nothing. What's your name?
Annie,
do you get along with Joey here?
Sort of.
Yeah, he seems to be annoyed about little things a lot.
Yeah, I guess so.
He's kind of sensitive about certain things.
Yeah.
What's the most annoying thing he does to you?
He makes weird little noises.
Can you make us just a... I don't know if you do requests, Joey, but can you make a weird little noise for us?
I know. Here, I'll try.
Okay. Okay. How old are you, about 12 or something?
No, I'm 10.
Well, you got a lot. 2 years, you really hit your peak of annoying noises. Reminds me of a kid who used to have to sit behind me. My entire grade school career made upset stomach noises. You know how upsetting that is? Because you really think it's you and it's bad. Dina Wolf, lingerie and baseball card sales. It's a diverse community we have here in Springfield. The same people buy lingerie and baseball cards, I wonder. Where is Dina Wolf? Where? Over there, yeah. Okay, Dina. Are you wearing baseball cards by any chance? How are you, Dina?
I'm fine. How are you?
Fine, thank you. What's moving in baseball cards and lingerie these days?
Jose Canseco and silk boxers.
I'm being topped by 10-year-olds here, lingerie saleswomen, and everyone else. Do you ever wear silk boxers? Is that big now for men? Or?
Sure, they feel really good.
Okay, I really can't deal with that. I feel I could explore that, but you wouldn't like it, probably. And I don't want to get ridden out of town. Mary Gray's is a hotel concierge. That's good. What is a hotel concierge, Mary? Yeah. Do you know what you are? Because I don't. Okay. What's a concierge? Is there a female word? Is that the female or the masculine?
It's the female. It's both. A concierge applies to either female or male.
I mean, what the heck do you do is what I'm saying.
I take care of hotel guests that stay in our hotel.
Well, that's never happened to me in any hotel that I've been. So you bring around the baseball cards and the lingerie, is what you say.
Something like that, but you didn't stay at our hotel, otherwise you would have been well taken care of.
They give me, I take, you know, I don't... Well, I had a waterfall outside my door. Do you have that at your hotel?
No, we don't. So you would have slept well.
And I don't know if this is important, Mary, but I'll let you ask it.
It's not important.
Okay, well, forget it. Here, we'll just... There you go. You can take the pieces back with you. Just a little souvenir of the show. We probably should be running along here, right? Because time is running out. We got to get to the What Do You Know quiz. As you know, this is a general knowledge quiz. Before we can get to the first quiz, though, we have to hear the four disclaimers. This tells who and who cannot participate in the quiz, and I forgot who I gave them to, but he just reminded me. And with the four disclaimers... Pardon me, today is?
Mark Hannum.
Mark, you from town here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Mark, would you do the honors, please?
The four disclaimers. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners with a pipeline to the truth should get their own shows. Number two, my cashew chicken can beat your cashew chicken. Number three, persons employed by National Public Radio or its affiliates who wish to compete should think about the private sector. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and give somebody else a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are unsubstantiated and ill-advised. Surprisingly, they are not those of public radio, its member stations, or its lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. Thank you. All right, let's do it. Let's see the hands of those who would like to try them at the What Do You Know quiz and possibly win an Archie comic book in the process and a pair of boys' shoes. All right, now, as you know, it's a general knowledge quiz, chance to win fabulous prizes simply for knowing who you are, what you do, and what you've learned over the years. Now you look so bright and well-educated and eager to go here, and why do you want to play this quiz?
Because I'm the best one here.
Well, we'll just go on to someone else here, then. Because that would be unfair competition if we just pick the... I don't mean to... What makes you think that you're the best one here?
Oh, well, just because I'm me.
Well, I really can't pick this girl. That's two for her, two strikes for her. So, what? This is important to you, right? This is. Well, what's your name? Get off your knees, would you please? I can't believe this. All right, what is your name?
Carice Pingenot.
Carice Pingenot.
Hmm?
How do you spell Pingenot?
P-I-N-G-E-N-O-T.
That's right. That's the first question on it. Carice. All right, how do you spell Carice?
C-A-R-I-C-E.
That's two. One more, and she's got it. Carice, you want to play this quiz pretty badly, don't
you? Yes, I do.
Important to you and your future development as a human being?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Carice, come up here and join us. Let's give her a little bit of encouragement. Watch out for the stairs. Come on up here. No, that's my chair, Carice. You get this one over here. She immediately made for the host chair, of course, so we know how this is going to go. Well, Carice, you already alienated the crowd here by claiming you were the best. That's all right. Let's give her a break now. Let's give her...
I'm sorry.
Give her a fair shake here. Carice, did you go to school or...
Yes.
Sit forward here a little bit. Where do you go to school?
I go to Glendale High School. Except
Glendale?
I'm not right now.
You're out of high school?
Well, we're summer school.
Summer school.
Summer.
What year are you in school?
I'm going to be a senior.
You're going to be a senior. So the next year you don't have any school classes necessarily at all, right? You just kind of...
Well,
senior slump, I think they call it.
Right. Yeah. I only have four classes, so five classes.
Five classes. Is there something in school that you're particularly good at?
Nothing in particular, just school.
How'd you get to be the best then if you're not good at anything?
Oh, just because I am.
Just because you are?
Just because I am.
Let's talk self-image here for a minute. Is it possible? It's possible we have a slightly inflated self-image.
I thought it would catch your attention.
Yeah, well, it was intention good. I mean, there's nothing, anything you like about school? I mean, is there a subject that you're good at? Or?
I like English.
Like, can you speak it like a native?
I do. I've been speaking it for years.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, that's a start. You think you're going to teach, or are you going to go on to being the best at something else?
Yeah, the best in something else.
Okay, well, Carice, that's fine. And are you from town here? Is that in town?
I'm Springfield.
Okay, so... you know how this works, Carice?
Uh-huh.
Someone out there plays along with you by calling this number.
They call us, Mike, at area 417-836-6638.
Kind of got that spit Homer Fields there, huh?
Part.
A little bit there. I'm sorry, what's the number again, Jim?
It's 417-836-6638.
Okay, so you can call us collect, or you can pay for it, and your odds are about even either way. So give us a call here, and here's the qualifying question. If you can answer this, then you get on. Here's the question. In Missouri, what is greens and pot liquor? Greens and pot liquor. If you think you know that, answer that question. I'm real curious about this. Give us a call here. What was that again? Error code 417-836-6638. Is that the number?
That's the number.
That's the right one. Give us a call here. Pot liquor, basically, is what we want to know about. Or greens and side meat, I guess, would form your pot liquor. And we want to know what the heck that means. If you know, give us a call here. And we'll see what we got. We've got Jim. Are you calling from your van, Jim? Hello, Jim, are you there? I guess he was in his van and he's left his vehicle at this time. Okay. Akshay.
That's right.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Michael?
I'm fine. You're calling from Minneapolis.
That's correct.
So, of course, you would know what greens and pot liquor are out there. It's a Norwegian specialty.
I don't have the foggiest idea.
You don't have the foggiest idea?
But I will give it, a try.
Okay.
Is it something that you eat?
Well, you know, that's a good answer there, but I'm afraid it's a little general, so we're gonna have to pass you on that one, Akshay.
All right.
But thanks for trying.
Thank you.
Okay, from Minneapolis there, and I guess he's not quite familiar with the dish. Maybe Lawrence, Kansas is the answer. Hi, Nancy, how are you this morning?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. What do you do there in Lawrence, Nancy?
I work up at the University of Kansas.
What do you do for them?
I teach English as a second language.
There's still a little miffed here about Kansas, you know, going back to the... They haven't forgotten the border wars down here, and they're holding it against you, Nancy. I'm sorry, but the question is, what is pot liquor or greens inside meat?
Side meat is bacon. My folks are from the Ozarks.
Okay.
I know this. And greens are any kind of the leaves of vegetables, wilted, maybe with some bacon grease and vinegar, maybe a sprinkle of sugar, dandelion greens, turnip tops, spinach.
Gordon's shaking his head here. Is that right?
Poke salad.
That's right. You got it. Yeah. You can wear those if you like. Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You get to join us here in the quiz. And this is, what'd you say your name was again?
Carice.
Carice, of course. I'm going to write that down there. So
it's with a C.
With a C. Well, I'm just writing it for my own benefit here. But all right, I'll put a C in there if you feel better. And this is Nancy in Lawrence. Nancy, this is Carice.
How do you do?
How do you do?
And the two of you are now competing together. Mm. Carice does nothing well in school, but she is the best. And Nancy, do you have a broad educational background?
Yes, very broad. That's right.
Okay, so you're interdisciplinary, I guess you could say. Liberal arts?
Mm-hmm. Linguistics, actually.
Linguistics. Well, watch my P's and Q's. All right, you know how this works, Nancy?
Yes.
The two of you collaborate. You get 3 right out of 5. You win fabulous prizes. And Nancy, I'll let you pick the first category. We have current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, science, and odds and ends.
Science.
Science is? Okay. Good at science, Carice?
Somewhat.
All right, now what do you get when one wasp approaches another wasp head-on, lowers its body, and strokes the mouth parts with its antenna?
What do you get?
This is multiple choice.
Okay, good.
We have a biology teacher here to verify these findings. Now, what do you get when that occurs? Do you get stung? Do you get regurgitated food? Or do you get more wasps?
I would say regurgitated food.
That sounds good to me. Why else would you stroke somebody's mandible?
Never having done it, I don't know.
Well, if it sounds good to you, it's all right with me. That's right. I guess we can't fool you. Regurgitated food, that's right. That's how they do it among wasps. Okay, that's why wasps are hardly ever hungry, I think, is the reason.
They're just passing around.
Yeah, you don't stop for a nosh if you're a wasp. Okay. Carice, your category, what would you like?
I'm going to try school.
All right, school it is. All right, what was the S for in Harry S. Truman?
Do you know Carice?
Oh, no.
The man from Independence.
I do.
You do? Good.
It's for nothing. He made it up because he thought such a distinguished person as himself should have a middle name.
Well, I'm glad you know that because I didn't.
Go along with that, Carice?
Yeah, I'll go along.
Wouldn't it be
that.
N then if it was for nothing?
But S sounds more distinguished.
Harry N. Truman?
S sounds more distinguished, maybe.
You can go for nothing? Nothing is right. And he was a haberdasher, wasn't he, actually, at one time?
He sold them habbers a lot.
Yeah, he sold a lot of habbers. You know, we don't have haberdashers anymore. I guess we dashed all those habbers at some point. Never hear that word anymore. It's, well, anyhow, back to you, Nancy. We have, let's see now, that was school, and we've had... What was the other one we had
science.
There? Science. So we've got current events, people, places. I really should listen to the show tomorrow. And odds and ends. Current events, people, places, odds and ends.
How about current events?
Current events. Right out of the news, in the local paper, of course.
No.
All right. Poached eggs are not generally punishable by law. Except in the Ozarks. The question is, why? Poached eggs. Not generally punishable by law, except in the Ozarks.
Carice, do you have a good guess?
The question is why?
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 It's a good question, why, isn't it? It's kind of all purpose. I like that. Poached eggs.
I know eggs are illegal around in some towns around Halloween around here.
Well, I didn't know that. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. Do I get an extra point for that?
No, that's good. It's good for conversation, though, at some point.
Well... maybe for salmonella? No. That would be...
Good, that's...
It might be a pun, Carice. Poached?
Poached eggs.
You can't steal them? You can't steal eggs?
This could take a while. We're getting closer, though.
Poaching
is stealing
game.
Here? We're going to come back next week and finish this quiz. And
because they're not yours. You can't poach them from someone else.
All right.
They're not yours. It's stealing.
It's current events now, so something in the news that you probably can relate to. Nancy, you have any idea what we're talking about here?
No.
Poached eggs?
It hasn't been on the front page of the paper recently. here anyway.
So I guess...
Because they're stolen? Would that...
Well, I'm afraid we need a little more than that. I'm afraid I have to call time on this one.
Oh.
It's because they're paddlefish eggs.
Oh.
Which, So it's a good old American caviar here. They get $45 a pound for it, but they're illegal. You cannot... I guess they can't even do it commercially here, right? Yeah, because the paddlefish, they're all over there at the bass shop. And they get mad if you climb in the tank there at the bass shop and... try and remove the eggs from the fish. So I'm sorry, that's one wrong though. But you still got two right here, so you're on the verge of something big. Okay, and they just arrested some people, I guess, for that. Okay, so finally, the 2-1 right now, and I guess it's back to you, Carice. What would you like?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends, it is. Okay. All right, $25 is too much to pay for which of the following items at a flea market? $25 too much for which of the following items? Is it the Orphan Annie Ovaltine mug? The Roy Rogers cap gun, or a Batman and Robin lunchbox?
I would say the lunchbox.
I'll take C, yeah.
Or the Orphan Annie Ovaltine mug. Or the.
Okay, well...
I don't know if you heard all the possibilities here. Let me read them again. The Orphan Annie Ovaltine mug, the Roy Rogers cap gun, and the Batman and Robin lunchbox. Batman and Robin being very popular right now, of course. Not Robin so much. He was a haberdasher. Annie. They got rid of him, I think.
He's leading us, but he might be...
Yeah, I got that impression, too. The Orphan Annie Ovaltine mug,
okay.
Would you say? Or?
We'll go for that.
You say the Orphan Annie Ovaltine mug?
Or it could be, then again.
No, I was just trying to clarify that, because on this side I don't hear so well sometimes.
Well, what do you think?
I'm not saying you're wrong there. Yeah. I'm just... Is that what you want to say, the Orphan Annie Ovaltine mug?
Does that sound okay to you?
Is $25 too much for that?
Does that sound okay to you, Nancy?
Well, it depends on how old it is. Orphan Annie and Ovaltine.
If it's a Victorian Orphan Annie Ovaltine mug, you've got a counterfeit on your hands there, Nancy.
If it's from the movie, probably
that. More than $25.
Well, you going with Orphan Annie?
Give us the choices again.
Orphan Annie Ovaltine mug, Roy Rogers cap gun. I'd like to have one of those myself. And the Batman and Robin lunchbox. And you say?
What do you think, Carice?
I have bad intuition on the one before. One of the first two.
Is he giving you any clues?
No, he isn't. He's sitting there and smirking.
What?
Carice, this is how I smile. All right,
I'm sorry.
This is my warm smile.
Should we go with A?
Okay.
A is right. The Orphan Annie. Old name, Mark. And you've won the What Do You Know quiz. They're going for $18 tops, which I actually would be worth paying for that. The Roy Rogers cap gun goes for about $38 now, and the Batman Robin lunchbox is getting $24. So that would be the one. Congratulations, you've won the quiz. Are you excited, Nancy?
Yes, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Wow. Well, don't worry, things could pick up. You're young yet, you know. Jim, what have they won?
Well, Nancy, you've won a most sought-after prize. It's a pair of flaming hot pink Ozark flamingos from Don Featherstone of Union Products in Leominster, Massachusetts. And, Carice, since we're broadcasting from a state where baseball is wildly popular, either St. Louis or Kansas City, you've won Hatman, the baseball cap with an AM-FM stereo radio and your favorite team logo. That's from Dolphin Technological Industries of St. Petersburg, Florida. And you'll each receive a gift package of Hellum's 100% natural peanut butter from Hellum's division of SSI Incorporated in Nixa, Missouri. Congratulations to you.
Take that with you there, Carice. There's your peanut butter.
Thanks very much.
Did a good job. We'll be back in another hour of Reagan-era fun coming right up. What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio, producer International, me. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
Hi, I'm Michael Feldman. Welcome back for more of What Do You Know's Funny You Don't Look 30 rebroadcast, produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. This hour, we're back to fiddling around in Springfield, Mo, on June 17th, 1989.
Now, the man who's never had such good cashew chicken, Michael Feldman.
I got to admit, we haven't had it yet. That's kind of a little fib there, and I want to be honest with you, because this is an honest show, and we have not had the cashew chicken yet. We've been threatened with it, though, several times, and by several different chickens, as a matter of fact, and we're going to... You know, I can't believe that it's such a big thing. Is it really as big a thing in Springfield as I'm told? Cashew chicken? Well, we're going to... I'm going to go out in the audience next time. Definitely want to find out about that, what the thing is about cashew chicken. And also, we've had people wondering whether it's Missouri or Missouri. That keeps coming up. Just offhand now, just a poll of the audience here. How, if you say Missouri, would you say it at this time?
Missouri!
And if you say Missouri now?
Missouri!
Well, that's interesting. So Missouri wins in a formal sense. But it's, Johnny, we'll let you referee that. Is it Missouri or Missouri? He doesn't want to take a position on this. This is a controversial thing here, I guess. I like, which is the best cashew chicken, I guess so. Well, okay, so we figured that out. Anyhow, it's either one. And it's a fascinating history. I was reading, as I was saying before, some of the history. Wild Bill Hickok apparently lived in Springfield at one time, and before he was bought out by Mr. Hammonds, I guess. But he lived here, and I guess they call him Wild Bill because if he picked up the check, everyone went crazy or something. It was such a rare event. No, apparently that Hickok actually shot a guy in a duel... you're here up on the square, and then they closed it down and drove out all the businesses is what why you can't find a store in the square anymore. They shot a guy and then they pointed him U.S. Marshal, I guess, so that was frontier justice in those days. So yeah, and he lived here, and I don't know exactly. Jesse James came through here or something, maybe. Actually, Gordon, you would know about this. Did Jesse James actually live?
He came everywhere.
He's even every cave and sinkhole in the Orange. That's why they got his ear in one place and they got his foot in another place. And they got, we're going to assemble an actual Jesse James, I think, before this is all over. And actually, the gentlemen we have up here now on our stage, you cannot see them because this is radio, but let me assure you, they are up here on our stage live. Gordon McCann, Art Galbraith are two gentlemen who know a lot about the history of the Ozarks. Gordon, do you run that Museum of the Ozarks?
No.
But you're there a lot.
No, I'm not there.
He has nothing to do with the Museum of the Ozarks.
I support the Museum of the Ozarks.
He supports it, and we all support the Museum of the Ozarks. We want that. But you are a lifelong resident of the area, and you know a lot of the history. And
well, by osmosis.
By osmosis.
If you live somewhere all your life, you're bound to know something about it.
Yeah, and I guess you soak it in after a while. And in Art, you're also a native of
right.
You grew up on the James River, is that right?
Right.
Is that fiddler country around there, Art?
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah. You go back, there's like a long line of fiddlers in your family.
Right. Four generations.
Mm-hmm. So it's passed on from father to son.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And but how the music is what, Scottish, Irish?
Mostly, yes. Yeah. In this part of the country, yeah.
British. Mm-hmm.
British Isles.
British Isles.
Mm-hmm. The British Isles. And so when did the Scotch and Irish move in the Ozarks? What period was that?
About the 1820s on in then.
The 1820s.
On up, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they brought their music with them.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't carry a piano on a horse, so they brought the brought the fiddle with them.
See, I'm from out of state, so this is how they talk to me down here. Because naturally, I would have thought they brought a piano on a horse. And you can always spot the out-of-staters, pretty much. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this music still alive in the hills?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. Still a lot of square dancing, a lot of music parties. A lot of jam sessions, we call them.
Yeah. Oh, we call them jam sessions now.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
They still have the old-fashioned house party, that sort
yes,
of thing?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great. And we have an example here. What is this you're going to play for us?
Oh, we were going to play a pretty sedate tune, but it was very traditional, called The Flowers of Edinburgh, but this is such a wild crowd, we thought we'd better speed it up a little bit. So we'll play one that if you were in the British Isles right now, it'd be called Lord MacDonald's Reel, but this will give you something to think about. In this part of the country, it's called Leather Breeches.
Okay. Gordon McCann, Art Galbraith. Thank you. We can't let you get away with that. We can't. That was too short, so we got to get another one here, right? We're going to hear one more tune here from...
We'll play The Flowers of Edinburgh. That's okay. A very, very traditional song.
All right. Art Galbraith, Gordon McCann. Flowers of Edinburgh. I asked him, of course, if that was Scottish. You know me. Not that I'm not hip to this kind of music. It was beautiful, though. Enjoyed that. Pat Hughes is here. And where is Pat Hughes? Special recognition, I think, for her tenacity in getting to this show. It wasn't easy getting tickets to this because he did it, Dion. How many calls did you make?
I think 270.
270?
Right.
Is that long distance?
No, that was close. It took 45 minutes.
You made 270 calls, and you got it on on which call?
271st.
I guess you would have got it. Makes sense. You got it on the third call. You probably wouldn't have called another 267 times. And your wife is Pat. What's your name, sir?
Jim Hughes.
Jim Hughes. And what is it that made it so important for you to be here?
Well, we just thought we'd want to see the live action.
Have you seen any yet? Because I have been here the whole time. I haven't seen much.
I've seen plenty. That's good.
Good show.
Well, nice to have you here. And Pat, nice to have you here.
Thank you. It was automatic redial is how he did it.
Oh, automatic redial. Well, then I'm not impressed, see? And you came and took back your Archie comic book, isn't it? Where is it now? Well, then I won't get it. All right. Very clever. Chris Hershen wants to know, what are flat, boring drill bits? I'd say they're flat boring, whatever they are, and Chris, so forget it. We're not going to talk about it. Okay, Carrie McGrath is here, an archaeologist from New York who loves the Ozarks. Now, that must have been quite a transition. Now, let's see how she made that transition. Okay, I'm just going to scoot over here. Where is she? Did I run past her? Oh, okay, all right. Let me get past her. Hi there, little one. Are we teething? Or are we serious? Oh, grabbing the mic. Can you slobber in the mic? Each week I get a different baby to slobber in this mic. Yes. Tickle his little Oshkosh tag there and see if he does anything. Cute. How old?
Thanks. Is he? 7.5 months.
7.5 months. Leave the mic. No. Let go of the mic.
He was born in Madison.
Oh, born in Madison. That's cute. Okay. Oh, there was a noise. Okay, now let go of the mic. Let go of the mic. Now, where's Carrie McGrath this year? Hi, Carrie. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Now, was this a big trend? Did you live in New York City?
In Scarsdale, which is a suburb of the city.
Yeah.
And I came to Missouri because of Missouri's archaeology, as a matter of fact. So I truly dig the state as a whole.
And you haven't got tired of that pun the whole time you've been here, huh?
That's the first time I've ever used it. Usually I teach here at SMS, and I tend to be, you know, real heavy-duty academic when I talk, so.
So what do we see here, the results of the late tertiary, or the Paleozoic after the uplifting of the Ozark highlands, and then the glacier came down the upper third of the state, I believe.
If you took a course for me, you'd flunk it, because that's geology. I'm
I'm kind of offended. I got a C in geology, I want you to know. I did not flunk it.
I understand why.
One person I pick out of the audience here absolutely hates my guts, and I never saw her before in my life. What did I say wrong there? Wasn't true?
Nothing at all.
But and you have to dig through the Paleozoic to get to those things that you're looking for. Jesse James ear, whatever it is.
That's all on top. That's all. All the other stuff is underneath. In fact, what I'm doing now is rather than looking at prehistoric or Indian sites, I study cemeteries. Uh-huh. And I'm doing...
That was you I saw the other night. Call that studying, do you?
Well, I suppose, right. There are a lot of people who study cemeteries.
I noticed there are that. It's kind of crowded in some nights.
No fair.
The moon is out. You see a lot of people out.
No fair. We're the little old ladies in tennis shoes who are all interested in ancestors and social structure
this
and
baby
stuff.
Baby here is taking my shirt off, isn't it?
Right.
Strange sensation to be undressed by a baby. Do you want the cards? You want the microphone? What do you want from me? Get your own little show. Don't you know it? Okay, I have to go because the baby is grabbing everything I have here. But it's nice. Was it? New York and all it offers there. The muggings, the fear of being on the street, the what have you, the crowds. Do you miss that?
Not at all. I came here because I like wilderness. I like wonderful streams, neat people, and I love the history here. So it has everything for me, and I don't have to deal with tremendous cost of living, people who talk too much, and a lot of heavy duty. So
okay, we gotta go. Speaking of that, I can see why you wouldn't want to deal with that. There wouldn't be time really for both of you. Boy, ask her a simple question and she launches into her, defends her doctorate and stuff. What's in the bag here?
Oh, I have some goodies for you. They're indigenous. I can't even spell it or say.
Not silk shorts, are they? And baseball cards.
No. These are things from the area. We thought you'd like to have a memento to remember.
They're indigenous?
Yeah, they're indigenous. That's the word.
Okay.
First of all, this is today's paper. Okay. I had to read it first, though. Yep. Waiting for a line.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome. And then, so you know, it's Branson, not Brandon. We have the...
I made one little mistake. Let's go. What else in the bag?
1989 okay. Visitor's Guide. Yep. Then we have some nice, because it's a food-oriented show, yeah. B&J barbecue sauce made in the Ozarks, to go with that bologna you had last week.
Yeah, very nice. Okay. B&J barbecue sauce. And thank you. Put this here for a moment. Nice.
Last but not least, just in case you get out in the woods and cemeteries, we have our official lye soap, Chigarit, right here. And it says, made in my house of pure tallow, rainwater, olive, coconut, and soy oils, lye, plus essential oils, spices, and emollients.
And this keeps bugs off you?
Yeah.
You wash the bugs in it, or what is it? Ozark Mountains, does anyone use this here? Do you just, like, tape this to you, or what?
No, you take a bath in that if you get bit by chiggers and ticks, yeah.
Okay, well, actually, I got some mites on my desk, too.
No, those were sea ticks.
Yeah.
Those are real nice.
That's what I meant to say. I get everything wrong around you. I think it's the nearness of you. Okay,
oh,
should I put this?
Yeah, this is for you.
Okay, put that all back in the bag here, and I'll take that. Oh, there goes the baby now. He misses the mic, see? Let's try that. Excuse me a second here. Here's the mic. There. Better? Yeah, I'm happy now, aren't we? Oh, now we're going to eat the mic. Okay. I'm going now, but I'll be back someday. Someday I'll be back to your town. Okay. So that works. Try that at home. Use a microphone on your, if your child is teething. Oh, see? Take it away. Well, I can't stay there all day. I mean, other things to do here. It's like I'm nursing or something. I can't believe it. Glenn Davidson asks a fascinating question here. In the CCR song, Creedence Clearwater, Who Stopped the Rain, a line is, clouds of mystery pour in, confusion on the ground. To what is the author alluding? I think it's rain. It's rain. You could have said it's raining, but it's not nearly as dramatic. So Glenn, just keep those to yourself in the future. Bill Hauser is here. Where is Bill? I said you were here, Bill. If you say here, it's redundant. How are you, Bill? I don't know if I can reach you over there. You want me to try?
Sure.
You guys are making me work. Give me that Archie chemical. It's for me, too. Well, thank you very much. Look at this. Another plastic bag. This is amazing. Let go of it. I am thrilled here. What do we got in here? Oh, our photos came back. I was wondering what happened to these. Let's just see if they all came out or not. We could have something here. It's Rob Lowe, ladies and gentlemen. In the Ozarks. He's in a lawn chair here. And what? Oh, my gosh. Oh, Rob. Oh, yeah. Oh, here he is applying the bug off. Shot of Rob Lowe washing in bug off here at a house party in Ozarks. Very nice. Those came out pretty well, I think, don't you think? Take those yourself, did you?
In one of my finer moments.
Sorry to embarrass you.
Oh.
I was trying to get this gentleman down here, actually, Bill Hauser. Bill, come on down this way. Actually, it'd be easier, so I don't have to... You know Bill Hauser. Bill's pretty well known around town here. For what? I don't know. Bill, what do they know you for best, I guess?
Just hanging around, I guess.
Yeah, you've seen this man hanging around, probably. Looks kind of familiar. Yeah.
Just kind of average.
I've seen you. I just can't remember where it was.
Yeah.
You don't do the Channel 3 news, do you?
No.
That's not with Steve somebody.
Steve Grant.
Yeah, right. And I'm Morton Downey. Thank you very much. Bill Hauser, Springfield Mo. Do you know, you want to know about what?
Click and Clack. Do you know Click and Clack?
Did you know that it's one guy? This is a little known fact. It's one guy and he's not even Italian. And he does both voices. It's like Beanie and Cecil. It was one guy. In fact, the same guy who did Beanie and Cecil. I don't know if you noticed the resemblance between Beanie and Cecil and Click and Clack on it, but it's exactly the same. And he knows nothing about cars.
I was wondering about that. I was wondering if maybe he had ever given you any advice on having your car fixed.
No. Well, he told me to take the wheel off to change the oil filter, so I immediately assumed that maybe he wasn't for real or something. But I've met the guy. He's like a tall, blonde guy. He's like a Norwegian guy or something. He's a very nice fellow. I'm not saying he isn't something, but he's not Italian, and he's not two guys.
That's kind of amazing. He sounds like he'd be short and bald.
Well, it sounds like there's two of them. For years, right, they thought there was going to be the next Garrison and the next Keeler. But it's not. It's just a tall, blonde guy.
Is he really a mechanic?
No. I'm just telling you, he has nothing. Are you listening to me? Read my lips.
Yeah, well, how does he get his knowledge? Does he just do proper mechanics?
Has got nothing to do with cars. You ever listen to their...
Yeah, they, right.
Their advice has nothing to do with cars.
Okay.
Yeah. So just have a seat there and try all and right. Relax, will you?
Nice to meet you.
I'm sorry to break the myths on this. Yeah. A lot of people don't know that Scott Simon is a woman, for example. It's the most amazing things in radio. You really don't. Someone asked me, too, about Consuela here, too, I guess somewhere in there. But I guess we won't get to that if we won't have to. Mike Adamek is here. And really, penmanship could use some work here, Mike. Where is Mike? Did you write this yourself, Mike? It crossed out here a few times. Here, we cannot accept this, really. You're going to have to use the official form.
Well, I'm wondering whether you were the class clown or the class brain when you were in school.
Those are the two choices I get, clown or brain. I was somewhere in between. I was the class crane, actually, you could say. What about you?
Well, just run of the mill.
Yeah. Well, I was one of those guys who made asides to the person ahead of me.
Always witty?
No, it was usually about the person behind me. I was making the stomach noises and the seat through the, the foot through the seat kind of thing. That was pretty much what our school was like. But I was never, this is the height of my career.
Late bloomer, huh?
I'm a late bloomer. I'm a non-bloomer is what I think. My bloom is off my rose, I'll tell you. Mike, what do you do here in town?
I'm the Unitarian Universalist minister.
Oh, fine. That's why your hands are folded in front of you like that. I should have picked up on that. I feel so bad. Unitarian Universalist, so that covers just about everybody.
Just about everybody, yes.
I mean, how can you be a Unitarian, which is like one, and a Universalist? Is that the secret to the religion?
I guess it's like the Trinity. It's a mystery.
All right, I don't want to get too theological here, Mike, so I'm just going to weave down the aisle here. Nice to have you here. We do have a lot of clerical people here. We have pastors. I saw another gentleman here who... we have the Presbyterian minister here, Bob Bruick. Believe it is? What is it? Like the shampoo. Which he does not use, I might add, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just going to bound over here like a gazelle. Come on down this way if you would, Bob, because I can't really get to you. Equal time here for the Presbyterians.
Actually, I used too much of it. It just wore off the hair.
Too much breck, huh?
Too much breck, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. So when you had it, you kind of over-shampooed and stuff, but you look...
When I had it, I enjoyed it.
How come none of you guys are in uniform? That's what gets me. They're all in casual dress here.
It's Saturday.
I know, that's the day, isn't it?
That's right.
Oh, that's right, you use Sunday, don't you?
That's right.
See, I'm a universalist. I take the whole weekend is what I do. I worship Saturdays, Sundays, and all major holidays. I don't care what they are. Movable feast to me, you know, that's the way I look at it. And you're from Ozark?
Ozark.
The town of Ozark?
Yes.
How far is that from here?
10 miles south.
10 miles south. Yay, Ozark! Good, fine. All right, you'll be heading back soon, too, won't you? Okay. We got an early start there because you got quite a drive ahead of you. Presbyterian minister, and you have like a theological question that I can help you with,
Bob? Kind of a weather question?
Yeah.
What does it mean when the sky turns green?
Oh, that's what God is mad at the Presbyterians.
No.
It's all color-coded, you see.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What are Jews?
What are Jews?
Jewish people. What are they? What color?
What do you mean, what are Jews?
What are Jewish people?
Didn't we study that in theology school? Did we go? Wasn't there a chapter, what are Jews?
There was a course.
What are Jews?
This is a weather question.
Like a minister, man, you should have studied that. Don't they do an overview of other religions?
This is a weather question. What does it mean when the sky turns green?
That's my answer to it. God is coming for the Presbyterians,
that's
I think.
That's not right.
All right, go ahead.
It has to do with the cloud swirling and tornadoes coming down. It means to take cover.
No, it's religious, man. I can't believe it has theological meaning. It's not weather.
It is in the book of Revelation. Yes, that's true.
That's right. God is coming for all slightly balding, shall we say, Presbyterian ministers who don't know what Jews are.
That's right.
Have a seat here, and we'll talk about you. We'll have lunch, talk about Jews sometimes. We'll cashew chicken. What are Jews? That's a tough one to answer. I don't know. I've been surrounded by them all my life, and I can't really explain. Everyone in my family has got the same problem, too. But, Mary Fawcett is here. Oh, we know Mary, don't we? How do we know Mary? Is Mary well-known around town?
Yes.
I can't keep doing this. I'm losing 10 pounds here today. Mary.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Nice to be here with you.
Thank you.
And Mary, how come you're so well known around here?
I'm a famous person here.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think we've established that at least you're quite well known here, but I mean, what?
Well, one of the things I do is I write morning commentary for KSMU.
Oh, morning commentary.
And she's on the Environmental Advisory Board, and you're supposed to recycle and not allow erosion in your backyard and good things like this.
Because you get people like this woman here digging otherwise.
Yes.
Looking for artifacts or whatever she's looking for. And so you do morning commentary.
Yes, I do.
And anything you want to comment on right now?
Gee, not at the moment. There are a few things I've got on my mind, but I don't think I should talk about them right now.
Oh, okay. You want to know what Jews are? Am I the first Jew in the Ozarks, or am I wrong? What is? Shall we do a Meet the Jew, a call in here? And
Can you part the Finley?
Can I part the Finley?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is he here? I'll try. You know, give me a dull knife, and we'll try. I don't know what they're talking about there. Just have fun with the foreigners. Mary, you have a question I can answer for you?
Well, I asked you if your wife's name is really Consuelo.
No.
Is it really? And is your name really Michael Feldman?
I'd say yes and no. Thanks for asking.
Oh.
Nice to meet you. I've always wanted to meet you because I just heard about you and I thought that's Mary Fawcett. Mary Fawcett, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, where are some people here from? We haven't talked about other parts of the state. Anyone want to represent their town here for a moment? From where?
Highlandville.
Highlandville, where's that?
It's
Highlandville, okay. Hit a nerve there.
All six of us are here. It's about 25 miles south of here.
25 miles south.
Right.
Best known for?
The packing plant, I suppose. They kill a lot of cows and horses.
Packing them in down there.
Yeah, right? In Highlandville.
Okay. Highlandville, okay, we got Highlandville. Anyone else want to represent their town here? Beg your pardon?
Hartville.
Hartville.
Mm-hmm.
And whereabouts is Hartville?
About 50 miles east of here. County seat of Wright County.
County seat of Wright County. And what was the most notable thing about...
It's the county seat of Wright County.
County seat of Wright County. Okay, we got... Yes. Rolla is here? Okay.
Mm-hmm. There's a large group from KUMR in Rolla here. Uh-huh. The University of Missouri has a campus there, the engineering school.
Can you talk a little quieter? Is that possible?
The children say that I talk very loud.
Well, that's around them. I'm sure you do. That's motivating, though. Yeah, we stopped in Rolla, and we saw McNutt Hall, and then we left immediately. But we're coming back. We just didn't have time, really, to do the whole tour of...
That used to be a beautiful lot with trees and an old house when I first moved to Rolla.
Yeah, we were just going to the Hardee's, so I really didn't have time to get too philosophical about it, because we've been on the road for like 17 hours with these guys in one van developing camaraderie. But next time, we'll spend a little more time in Rolla, I think. Does the family, does your mother actually crank it up around the house?
Yeah, a lot.
So this is just her public voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. You'll hear about that. Good luck to you. She's got her Batman button. Martha, anyone else here want to represent their town here? We have. I don't want to really leave anyone out. It's a big state. It's a diverse state. And we don't... Lebanon represented. Well, we'll get... Lebanon, I'm sorry. You people got to give me a little leeway here now. You know, I call them the way I see them. It's Lebanon. Yes. Lebanon.
Yes, sir.
Lebanon. And Bolivar is not Bolivar, is it? No. No, that'd be too easy, right? What is it?
Bolivar.
Bolivar? Oh, man. I would have never got to that one. And what town do you come
Marshfield.
From? Marshfield.
Yes.
How far is that?
About 20 miles.
20 miles, and Marshfield is notable for...
Two casket companies.
Two of them? Two of them?
People are dying to get there.
Two casket companies. It's amazing that a town can support two casket companies.
We ship them out.
Where else, sir? Yes, sir.
Linden.
What?
Linden.
Linden?
Yes.
How far is Linden from here?
16 miles.
16 miles as the crow flies. Which way?
Southeast.
Southeast. And Linden, of course, is known for
the Lindenler area on the Findlay River.
Oh, the Findlay. It's on the Findlay. So if I part the Findlay, I'd probably go down to Branson, nice to have. Oh, this is Ken from the car wash, one of our early notables on the show. Ken called in about 600 times in our show from the car wash in Branson and never got to play the quiz until one time he finally did. And then we never heard from him again.
That's right, because I can't call anymore. I have to sit on my hands.
That's right. Then he got religion, and we never heard from him again. And you're in the right place here. We got a lot of ministers here.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, nice to have you here, Ken.
I'm glad to be here.
Okay. And we really should catch... Oh, I'm sorry. I knew the car wash.
That's why I was saying,
right? Yeah. I just got carried away. Yeah, go ahead.
It's tourism is a big industry down
Thanks
there.
Thanks a lot. Okay. Actually, we're heading down to Branson. We're going to the Japanese guy who plays the fiddle while hanging from a glider. Typical. It's just what you associate with the Ozarks, so I thought we definitely want to see that. Yes?
Clever, Missouri.
Clever, Missouri. Now, there's one of those names. You know how Clever got to be Clever?
I think supposedly like seven guys who are really smart started it.
Started by seven guys who are really smart. That's pretty cool. I like that. Is there a pretty cool woman? Yeah.
Another Jewish person here.
Another Jewish person. Fine. Thank you very much. You introduced me to another Jewish person. Are you from around here, sir? Where is the Jewish person? Are you
the...
I'm sorry. I should have spotted you, but I really... Sometimes it's hard to tell. Oh, yes. Yes.
No, I'm not. I'm originally from New York.
Okay, fine. Wait, are you living down here now?
I think so. Last time I checked.
It's funny, you blend right in. The accent is gone entirely.
Now that they know I'm Jewish, I might not be living here any longer. So.
Yeah, but it's hard to burn a Jewish star in a lawn. There, I notice that? They keep flopping over. You know, it's been... And they will not stand. You really got to... Yes, hi. You got the camcorder going there. Are you getting the show pretty good now?
Yeah.
Would you like a close-up here? Can I just...
Let me zoom in.
Okay.
Got it.
Okay. Give him the old CBS Eye routine there on his camcorder. Any other towns here that we want to... Yes?
St. Louis.
St. Louis, I've heard of, yeah. The Bowling Museum. Great place. Yeah. Been there, yes.
Bolivar.
You're from Bolivar.
I am from Bolivar.
Now, who formed... Who started Bolivar, do you know? Why does it have the name Bolivar?
It's named after Simon Bolivar.
I should have known, really. Makes sense, really. Simon Bolivar, yeah.
And Simon Says.
Yeah, okay. So it's named after Simon Bolivar. Well, that's a good answer, I gotta admit that. And here's a man who's being forced to wear his Father's Day tie. It's a fish tie. Either that or he's actually got a muskie wrapped around his neck, which is possible. Is that a muskie? What is that?
No, that's from the Bass Fish Shop. It's real bass tie. Actually, it came from Silver Dollar City.
Is that right? Yeah.
Right.
It's very lovely. Ever going to wear that again, you think?
This will be probably the last time out. It's
Father's Day special here. Who gave that to you?
My daughter, Kathy Boyd, and my son-in-law, David Boyd.
Yeah. And who are you, sir?
I'm Vincent Tindall.
Vincent, I don't know if the people here can see your fish tie, because we're on radio anyway, but people in the audience really should see. Very large. Did anyone get, thank you very much, anyone get a worse tie for Father's Day? Okay, that's the record holder so far. Now here we have one minister actually in the appropriate garb. He's not out of uniform. I like to see that.
How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm glad to see that you dressed for this.
Well, okay. What are
you? He's a member. It's the quiet church. They don't talk much there. Nice to have you here. What church do you represent?
My name is Father Gregory Zatina, and I'm from Holy Trinity Catholic Church.
Holy Trinity Catholic Church. Nice to have the Catholics here. We've got the Catholics, the Presbyterians, we've got the Universalists, the Unitarians, and the Jew. So I guess we pretty much run the gamut here. Yes?
I was on your show in October, and I won fabulous prizes, and I looked for my Life is a Beach button that I won. I don't know what I did with it.
You don't wear that on your jacket here, do you?
Well, I did the Sunday after I won, and when it finally came in the mail, and I was surprised to see your face when I got the card, and I said, well, that's who Michael Feldman is, and yeah. I wore that, and I think I threw it away.
Oh, yeah. Thanks very much. Nice talking with you, Father. Forgive me, for I do radio, but wouldn't you love to have a priest like getting the last rites, and you see Life is a Beach button on his... The last thing you see in this veil of tears, I'm sorry. Yes?
Springfield Jews, right here.
Oh, more of us. Good. Well, that's good.
We have two families.
I beg your pardon?
We have two families here. Aaron's one of them, and yeah. We're the other.
I wish I would have brought some supplies for you. I'm sorry I didn't. I would have brought in some gefilte fish with me or something. In a van for 12 hours, you know what gefilte fish does. Well, it starts driving after a while is what it does.
Yes. It's good fresh.
No.
Fine. Oh, it's great. You just really, you know, you've been out of contact with your people too much. Don't give up your roots. Gefilte fish is very important. We got to go ahead here, I believe,
and
do some more show. Because there's lots of show here to do, and I don't want to neglect the important part of it. What time is it, anyway?
It's 25. Too.
Oh, yeah, okay. Time's wearing on here. So let's try the What Do You Know quiz. As you know, this is a chance for you to win fabulous prizes. Now, this gentleman right here in the middle here was waving his arm at me in the green striped shirt. Has caught my attention. Let's have you come up here, sir. Could you be a little taller? Is that possible? I'm getting a you'll be sorry for my... How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
You want me just to part the Finley? Is that the idea?
Please do.
Which part would you like parted?
Between Linden and Ozark.
Okay. Make it easier for you to commute there.
That's why I get to school that way.
Yeah. What's your name, sir?
Don Smith.
Don, and you're from?
I'm from Springfield, teaching Ozark.
In the school of the Ozarks?
No, Ozark High School, Ozark, Missouri.
Okay. And Don, you say?
Don.
Don, give me one good reason, besides the fact that you're a foot taller than me, that you should play this quiz.
Just got back from San Diego and was cold and damp and dark. I need some sunshine in my life.
Is it a haiku or something? I really wanted to hear an actual... Come on here and join us, Don. Let's give Don a little walk this way.
You're listening to a special Funny You Don't Look 30 edition of What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. Welcome back to What Do You Know's retrospective Funny You Don't Look 30. I'm Michael Feldman.
Nice to have you here, Don.
Thank you.
And what do you teach at Ozark?
I teach careers program, government, and geography.
All those things, huh?
Most of the time.
Yeah. You ever confuse your subjects and...
Yes, occasionally.
You ever confuse your students, for that matter?
I'm always confused. That's why I teach.
How long have you taught school?
18 years.
18 years. Have you gotten it right yet, or?
I'm still practicing.
Yeah. And how big a school is Ozark?
The high school has around 678 students.
Oh, that's a pretty big school, actually. Is that consolidated from all around there?
It was probably 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah. Are you from the area originally? Or?
No, I'm from Washington, Colorado, South Dakota, Wyoming.
Uh-huh. What happened? Your past catch up with you in all those places?
My father was a mining engineer.
Oh, so he moved around, and was he here for the lead mining then?
Yes, correct.
Is that still going strong, lead mining?
It's kind of died out.
Yeah. What was it, the French came looking for silver, found lead, and got the lead out, right, basically? And then we got the French out, and pretty much.
Correct.
All right, Don, well, it's nice to have you here. You know how this whole thing works?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, don't call me sir, please. It makes me feel so odd. Call me Mike.
Okay, Jack.
All right, Phil. Well, I mean, Don, excuse me. Someone out there plays along with you. What's our number here, Jim?
Our number, Mike, is area 417-836-6638. They can call collect.
All right, and here's a question here that actually has to do with Missouri, strangely enough, or Missouri, as you prefer here. We want you to give me an equivalent of this particular sentence. I sure didn't aim to contrary that old heifer from Hell Holler. That's, of course, said in my dialect, not yours. So if you can tell me what that means in Midwestern English, you can get on the quiz here with Don there. Number once again to call is...
Area 417-836-6638.
Yeah, I was going to say that, actually. I sure didn't aim to contrary that old heifer from Hell Holler. If you can tell me exactly what that means, you can play along here with Don and win fabulous surprises. Don, do you have a family, a big family? Or?
I have two little girls that I love dearly and a wife that I love even more.
Anybody that you hate that you want to talk about here?
Well, I have a principal superintendent occasionally.
Are you good friends with a janitor? That's the important thing in a school.
He runs the school.
That's right. And every school I've been in, too. That's you know.
That's right.
The most important man to know, because if you want to hide somewhere, you got to know the janitor. If you want to get out of anything, like a pep rally, you got to know the janitor.
That's right.
If you want to smoke, you have to know the janitor. If you want to get in the damn building, I want to get into it. Actually, there's a few janitors I've run into. Ben, how are you this morning?
Hi there.
You're here in Springfield, I see.
Yeah. I gave Susan this number to leave some messages. Did she call?
I'm not an answering service, Ben. Maybe you have the wrong number. We're doing a radio show here.
Okay.
Ben, what do you do in Springfield?
I heard Susan early on, and I thought maybe she's the Susan I work with at Springfield Department of Human Resources.
Is that the Susan that's here? No, Ben, let's change this. Let's get on to something else here, shall we?
Okay.
Ben, here's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Translate this into Midwestern Standard English.
Okay.
I sure didn't aim to contrary that old heifer from Hell Holler.
Shoot the bull.
Shoot the bull? No, I'm afraid that's not acceptable.
No.
Sorry, Ben.
Okay.
Try us again, though.
All right.
Not soon, of course, but... Let's go to Charlie, also here in Springfield. Hi, Charlie. How are you this morning?
I'm fine.
You having a good day so far?
Yeah. Are you secretly here to apply for our police chief job?
No, I'm not looking for anything in law enforcement, to tell you the truth.
Well, it was open here, and for 3 months we haven't had one. I just wonder if you were secretly here for that.
No, I don't think I could. Well, I do have the qualifications. If I just had the height, you know.
Oh, okay.
I think I come in a little under the height on that. Charlie, are you in law enforcement?
No.
Are you running from law enforcement?
No.
Is law enforcement on your mind?
No.
Okay. What do you do, Charlie?
I'm a clerk, and dispatch clerk, and... part-time sports announcer.
Part-time sports announcer?
Yeah.
For the Bears?
No.
The Lady Bears?
No. For just a little sports show.
Okay. Nice to have you on here with us. Charlie, you know the answer to this question here. Can you tell me what this means? I sure didn't aim to contrary that old heifer from Hell Holler. Hello, Charlie.
Get the cow out of my pasture.
Get the cow out of my pasture? No. I'm sorry, not.
Close.
Yeah. Thanks for trying, though.
Okay.
Bye, Charlie. Nice talking to you. Let's go to Des Moines. I should know this one. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Hi. Fine, thanks.
How are things in Des Moines today?
Oh, just great. Nice day.
Decent weather?
Yeah.
It's beautiful out here.
Yeah.
Dan, what's your line there in Des Moines?
Well, I'm a full-time student, and I'm moving to Missouri, but currently I'm a guard at the Iowa Jewish home.
You're a guard at the Jewish home?
Yeah.
Are they trying to escape, or what? See, that's good. They keep them all in one home there in Des Moines. That's the way to do it.
Can't find good matzah in Des Moines.
No, they airlift that in occasionally. A guard at the Jewish home. Then you should know this question, because I'm sure this has come up in conversation at the Jewish home. Dan, I sure didn't aim to contrary that old heifer from Hell Holler, or Vayazmir, usually followed by Vayazmir. What does that mean, Dan?
I didn't mean to argue with that old woman.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't mean to argue with it. I had no idea it was that insulting. Well, I'm sorry you're right. I had no idea that's what it meant. I thought it was a farming thing or something. All right. Well, I'm learning something every day here. Congratulations, Dan.
Thanks.
How'd you know that?
Been Midwestern all my life, I guess. So.
Yeah, all right. Just horse sense, huh?
Yeah.
Or heifer sense, I guess. All right, Dan, this is Don.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Don.
Don, Dan.
How's it going?
Talk it over a little bit. Get some rapport going here.
Come out of the Ozarks.
Beg your pardon?
Come out of the Ozarks. Teach you right.
Okay. Sounds great. Well, I'm moving to St. Louis next month, so...
No, I'm just going to lean back here. I want you guys to get to know each other because I think that builds kind of a better program that way. So whatever you want. Pretty much through?
Yeah.
All right, fine. Let's go on with the show then. You know how this works, Don, Dan?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And Don,
yes,
Dan,
sir.
You know how it works? And the two of you collaborate, get 3 right out of 5. You win fabulous prizes. And Don, Dan, I'll let you pick the first category. What would you like, Don, Dan?
Well, let's...
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends?
Things you should have learned in school.
Should have learned this in school. All right, into the room, the women come and go. Speaking of Vincent van Gogh, Michelangelo, or Edgar Allan Poe? According to the scientist, she must have been hit by a powerful blast of hot air with high carbon dioxide content and exposed to an enormous dose of heat and radiation from the raging inferno. Internal massive pervasive crystallization of calcite followed immediately, resulting in death from rigor calcium carbonitis. It's in the Bible. What is the story?
Ooh, that one I know.
It would be Lot's wife being turned to pillar of salt.
Right.
That's right. Actually, Now, doesn't it make you glad that scientists didn't write the Bible? That is not very beautiful writing, I don't think.
My second choice was she had cashew chicken.
Can you be turned to calcite from eating cashew chicken? I guess the MSG probably would do that to you. Same effect. Well, you've got 2 right here. This could be it for you here. And Dan, it's back to you. What would you like?
Well, what are the categories again now?
I forget, actually. We have current events, people, places, and science left, I believe.
Oh, well, science.
Well, of course. All right, how long does an eyelash last? This is multiple choice. Is it the blink of an eye, 6 weeks on average, or up to 5 months?
I would say probably up to 5 months, wouldn't you, Don?
Sounds good, Dan.
Okay.
That's right, up to 5 months. You won. Well, how about that? You won 3 straight, which puts us at an interesting point, doesn't it, Jim?
That's right, Dan and Don, or Don and Dan. You can elect to stop right here and take the prizes you've won, or you can go on and you can try for our Horn of Plenty. You answer 2 more questions from our 3 remaining categories correctly, and you could win a giant cornucopia of prizes. However, if you miss either of the questions, you lose everything. So go ahead, discuss this, tell us your choice.
Dan?
Yeah?
What do you think?
You know, I've always dreamt of pink flamingos, but you know that...
Always? Really?
Yeah, but the chance of going for a cornucopia of an entire bevy of wonderful prizes is simply too...
Dan's getting worked up here, isn't he?
Yeah.
Kind of slow there in Des Moines at the Jewish home, isn't it?
Well, yeah, pretty much.
So you're going to go for it? Is that what you're telling us?
Well, if Don's up for it, I am.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Now, you know how this works now. You have to get both these right. You get one wrong, you lose everything you've earned so far, and you pay for our time here, which is considerable. So what's it going to be?
Well, I picked the last one, didn't I?
Don, over to you. We have, current events, people, and places left.
Let's try places.
Places it is. All right. All right. Sportin' Norton. Someone knows who this is. So I hope you get that. Snorton. Is it Snorton or Sportin? Snorton. I'm thinking of someone else. Snorton Norton is no longer humping to please along Route 66. Someone gave me this question. They said you would understand. I have no idea what I mean. And I assume it's all right to say this over the air. I already did, so. But he's not forgotten either. Who was he?
He wasn't like the dragon on the side of the Campbell's transport service.
Camel and on the Campbell 66 Express trucks.
That's right. Are you sure you're not from here, Dan? I don't understand this. You understand all?
No, I just, you know, that's...
He was a the camel was on all his trucks for years, right? I've seen those around, and much missed, as a matter of fact.
True.
There's no comic relief on the road anymore, actually, like that. So that's four right. This is it. You get it right, you win the whole shebang here, a grand prize. And so we're getting those Dodge Caravans right now out in the parking lot.
I wanted the Kraft
cheese. Or slices
cheese.
Of cheese, yeah. You get your choice, either one.
Government, that good government cheese.
All right, so I guess it's back to...
Back to Dan.
Back to Dan.
Okay.
In Des Moines. What'll it be?
I believe, well, we have current events and...
And people.
How do you feel about current events, Don?
Yeah, sounds
okay,
good.
Current events.
All right. Well, speaking of Kraft, as fate would have it, according to Kraft, you can buy a new Dodge Caravan van. This is multiple choice. For $17,000, $13,900 with dealer incentives, or $250. And cheese slices.
There was something weird about that. Something about half of a van on a coupon and the other half fit a car or something weird like that.
The retail value was $17,000.
According to Kraft, you can buy a new Dodge Caravan for $17,000, $13,900, or $250.
I don't know, Don. What do you think?
$17,000.
That, of course, is the retail price of the...
Well...
According to Kraft, you can... Please.
They would give you $250 if you would take it. They estimated the retail value at $17,000 for the van.
All right, well, this is kind of a funny way of getting at that. See? A little humorous tongue-in-cheek here. So your answer actually would be then, we're not talking retail price, we're talking the value according to Kraft.
According to Kraft, cheese $17,000.
Yeah.
You want to help him out on this a little bit, Dan, here? Let's talk this over, because you do have the rapport going here.
Well, I think the $17,000 is too obvious with the Kraft. And yeah. So, probably the $250. I mean, because it's the most.
They would give you $250 if you would.
They'd give you the $250.
Would give you $250 if you turn in your two coupons.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
is that it?
So I guess, are we getting at that? You think?
Yep.
So you would say then
$250.
$250 is right. And you win a cornucopia of prizes. Very exciting, and of course, people are telling them to cut the craft. And you've won some fabulous prizes, haven't they, Jim?
They have. We've brought fabulous prizes from Madison for this. Dan, the last cat that you'll ever want to kick around is our friend Earl, the dead cat that you've won from Mad Dog Productions of Richmond, Virginia. And for Don, you can keep your moonshine or anything else in our What Do You Know crock from Rockdale Union Stoneware in Cambridge, Wisconsin. You'll each receive a gift package of cheese from Mid-America Farms located right here in Springfield. Dan, for you, you'll also receive the juggling flying penguini from Chasley in Seattle, Washington.
She's and here, isn't she?
And our own What Do You Know t-shirt. And for you, Don, something for your schoolroom, the fabulous lava lamp that'll give you hours of mindless fascination from Lava Simplex International in Chicago, and our own What Do You Know t-shirt as well. Congratulations to you.
Don, thanks very much. Did a good job. Nice to meet you. Dan, stay in line. We'll make sure you get that.
Okay.
Nice talking to you.
Additional support for What Do You Know comes from NPR member stations and the NPR Arts and Performance Fund. Contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation and the Tandy Corporation. If you'd like to qualify to play the What Do You Know quiz by phone, just send us a postcard with your name, address, and phone numbers to What Do You Know, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706.
Well, you know, I keep really receiving these crank letters through the mail here, which is, I guess, the way you receive letters, and... This is written kind of supposed to be in Hill Talk, I guess. And there's two sisters. We pinned it down and we located them here in the area here, who keep sending me these letters. And we got them up here on stage, as a matter of fact. Now, what is this stuff? You know, who wrote this letter here? Was that you?
I wrote that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
What does this say exactly?
It says, I want to come to your show in Springfield, Missouri, but I can't get tickets. Now, if that ain't the pits. So I thought maybe if I was to write you a letter and ask, you might be able to help me out.
I've been trying to read this thing for weeks, and it keeps coming out with like a Yiddish thing or something. I want to try to come to your show in Springfield, Missouri. See, I couldn't quite do it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And you are?
I'm Maureen Travis.
Maureen Travis, and you're?
Kate O'Brien.
Kate, Maureen and Kate, your sisters.
Yes, we are.
And,
yes.
You don't look anything alike, though.
No.
How did that happen?
I'm adopted.
Your mother is adopted. Well, that's a good answer right there now. And the gist of this is they could not get tickets to the show, but they said they had a certain talent that was, if we booked them on the show and merely paid them the cost of a Dodge Caravan, that they would come here and illustrate a little something, a little local color here on the piano. Now, what exactly is it that you do besides write these annoying letters that I keep receiving in dialect?
In dialect?
I'm sorry.
What do you want to know? What do you want to know?
Well, what I want to know is, what the heck are you doing here?
We're playing the piano. We're going to play the piano.
Now, you can do a rag for us,
A Scott Joplin rag. Scott Joplin is originally from Carthage, Missouri. Which is
that before they level it or after?
After the Greeks.
After the Greeks.
Well, don't hold that against me. It's been a fun show otherwise.
It has. It really has been fun.
So the rag, Scott Joplin, what period is that exactly?
This is from 1898, is when it was published.
Did he invent the rag?
No, he didn't invent the rag. He was called the King of Ragtime.
The King of Ragtime. Yes. Well, who invented the rag then?
Well, it came historically from
Jewish
the origins out of Africa.
Jewish origins out of Africa. Okay, that's great. Now, you play this four-handed here, don't you?
Yes, sir.
We each have four hands. It's kind of amazing. So, all eight hands, if you, Kate and Maureen, take it away. A little Joplin rag for you on the piano. And Kate O'Brien. Thank you.
And we have lots of people to thank, Michael. We'd like to thank Kaiser Ford, Jeep, Eagle, Car and Truck Rentals of Madison, the John Q. Hammonds Hotels, University Plaza Hotel in Springfield, and the Holiday Inn Madison West, now under construction in Middleton, included among 90 John Q. Hammonds Hotels nationwide. KYTV for providing the satellite uplink, Southwest Missouri State University Campus Union for the picnic, J. Howard Fisk Limousine, the Shoji Tabuchi Theater of Branson providing entertainment, and the KMSU staff.
And I'd like to thank all of you for coming down here and joining us. It's been a great audience, and I'd like to thank the Bass people for providing this plastic crow at expense to me. And it's been a great audience. Great being down here in Springfield. Come on down here if you get the chance. Thank you all.
This is
What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio, and I'm the producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with help from Chris Myshak, Lyle Anderson, Diana Cook, Kelly Osborne, and Megan Hannis. Our technical director is Tom Lane with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
PRI, Public Radio International.